Is this Prophet?
Yo, what's up, bro?
Yo, it's Neven Max.
What up?
First of all, I gotta tell you, I'm a big fan. I use your music to get street cred. Like, I thought I was cool because I had your album.
No, no.
This is the Extra Hot Grape Podcast, episode 80, for the week of July 27th, 2015. I am omnipresent hotel room photograph David T. Cole, and I'm here with aspiring hip-hop artist Sarah D. Bunting.
No signal in the studio, bae.
Park ranger Tara Ariano.
Please relocate your tawdry meetings.
And reverse Google image searcher Kim Reed.
She stole those photos. Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Extra Hot Grape. We are thrilled to welcome back Kim Reed. Hi, Kim.
Hi.
Hi, Kim. Yay! For our discussion this week, it came back a few weeks ago. We finally got around to it. Catfish. Kim has covered the show for us in the past, although I am generally the one who does it, for better or worse. And this week we got kind of a different episode in that somebody was claiming to be a hip-hop artist, and he actually was. Of course, he was the seeker in the episode and not the target, but let's talk about it. What did everybody think of Prophet and Trinity?
Uncomfortable.
It was interesting because it was the typical catfish of he thinks she looks one way and actually she looks a different way.
Yes.
And they met in a park, which they always do. But it was different for me. And I know, Tara, we disagreed about this a little bit.
A little.
Because I was more sympathetic towards him for being disappointed than I usually would be.
Right.
In her, you know, I didn't feel like his disappointment was entirely due to her appearance. It was partly due to her appearance, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Well, so the story is this guy Prophet, who is formerly a member of the Nappy Roots and is now trying to go off on his own as a hip hop artist, I guess, has been advised by his management to get on the social media. That includes the Twitters, guys.
Don't say the Twitters.
That's what he said.
I know, but let's not carry that far.
Okay.
Let's not encourage him.
No. Let's that's true. Let's not make that
no interwebs. The interwebs. No the Twitters. Nothing like that.
That is what he said, yeah. However. Uh-huh. So he's super naive, and he's met this girl, and everyone apparently around him is like, she's probably faking it because she's way too good looking. And then when you see the photos, it's quite obvious that she's way too good looking to be hitting on a guy of his caliber on the internet. And sure enough, it turns out she's Chris Brown's ex-girlfriend. Then he meets the real woman, and it's this sad lady who lives in his town who says she just wanted to help him with his career. The thing that hung me up, and I didn't notice it as I was watching it, but only when I did the post, was that they've only been talking at the point when he contacts the show for like 3 months. Which I feel like this season there's been a lot more of these where it's just like people are pulling the trigger on it way faster than they used to. Because there used to be ones where it's like, we've been talking since we met on MySpace like 8 years ago.
America's running out of catfishings.
Well.
Oh, no.
Probably.
We've learned our lesson. We're doing image searches. We're going on Facebook and we're putting in names.
No. Do you think that is the case? Is America running out of catfish?
No. I mean, I think we talked about this last time, but I mean, catfish now is in the American Idol audition phase where they just half the people that come in are just going to be there and going to sing intentionally awful. And I think that's sort of where they are right now. So the actual real catfishings are becoming like real ones or becoming are harder to come by, I think. And they're just,
I think it's more of the intervention phase where they had to take a break from the show for like 18 months because everybody was wised up to it.
Yeah.
Not that catfish has done that, but they should consider it because now that I do think it is a verb, like whenever they ask, he introduces himself on the phone. He's like, maybe you've heard of a little show we do called Catfish. And they're like, nah, like the fuck you haven't. Of course you've heard I felt bad. I didn't feel that bad for him because, first of all, I think these photos are photos that have been stolen before.
They did look kind of familiar. But that also, as I also said in my post, that's a particular kind of like physical profile that always gets stolen. It's often a light-skinned black woman with light eyes, and that's like considered very exotic and hard to come by, I guess, because that seems to be what everyone wants to pretend they look like.
Two girls with green eyes.
Exactly.
What are the odds?
Yeah.
But then she was like really combative when they first met. Mm-hmm. Was like, you know, I've been listening to all your problems, so fuck you. And it's like, well, all right, like you're nervous and you know how this is going to go. Mm-hmm. Once he sees you, probably, like, either it will be your actual appearance or it will be the fact that you lied about it or some combination. Regardless, you're not going to like how it ends, which is doing right now. So I had some compassion for her. But yeah, I didn't really feel that sorry for him. And I think he went on the show to promote his album. And I assume he did that. And good luck to him.
Yeah. And his GoFundMe campaign, which he's the sad part of the episode is that he was the victim of police brutality situation and put up a GoFundMe, I guess, to help handle his legal expenses. And as of when I did my post last week, it was at $580 and it had been up since like December. So all the stuff where she was talking about how she had rewritten stuff for his page and was trying to help him like get more attention to it, like, I don't know how helpful you were, and I wouldn't necessarily be advertising my life coach experience based on this. But yeah,
GoFundMe is a tough sell though. I mean, GoFundMe, like, it's all charity cases, basically.
Yeah.
So it's, as soon as you see that Earl, it's, you know, you're already kind of behind the eight ball. I mean, not that there's not, you know, worthy things there, but I'm just saying, for the general public, what's in it for them? Not much to go to GoFundMe in by itself. What they need to do is mix it in with other stuff. Mm. Like, you know, one is GoFundMe, court case. And then the other thing is GoFundMe, I will enter a hot dog eating contest and eat 20,000 hot dogs. And, you know, there's got to be a push and a pull. That's yeah. What I'm saying there. I mean, GoFundMe, you got to work on the marketing, call me.
Right. This also was a case where, I mean, last year, I think Vulture had a post about how most episodes of the show are actually built, which is that the faker contacts the show about outing themselves versus how the opposite is, which is usually how it's portrayed on the show. But this was one where it seemed like either of them could have been the seeker. What did you guys think of that?
Yeah, I always have that in mind when watching the show is, you know, is this really just the faker wanting to find for once and for all come clean?
Yeah.
And it kind of didn't seem that way this time, both because she didn't seem very happy about it.
Yep.
And he had so much he was trying to promote, not just find out who this lady is, but also promote his album.
Yeah.
Although then again, her role in his life seemingly was to help him promote his album and his GoFundMe. So maybe that was part of her motivation too.
Yeah.
I don't know. It could have gone either way, I think.
Yeah.
I agree with that. And with Sarah, that this is profit promoting a single with the album soon to follow.
Mm-hmm.
And thanks MTV. You know, it's one of those cases like, wow, it's another, you know, somehow a musician got, you know, ensnared into the catfish universe. Shocker. And oh, he's got product to promote.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is, you know, this is just native advertising, you know, in a TV show.
Yeah.
And, you know, all this other stuff is a little bit of window dressing. And I don't know how true any of this is really.
Well,
and this whole thing,
that's always
the
question.
Yeah. I mean, yes, I know. But in this case, when you're actually dealing with, you know, a musician promoting his thing and blah blah blah, it just seems like it's you know, it was all set up. It was set up rather.
I also felt that this one suffered from coming a week after one of the crazier catfish we've ever seen last week with Tracy, which we could talk about her a little bit.
We could talk about.
Please, what would you like to say?
Oh,
start us off.
I had only seen. I always forget Catfish is on, and then I see your tweets about it, and I go, oh my God, I got to watch Catfish. And so then I watch, and I try to like catch up, so I skip through some of the beginning so I can get caught up.
Yeah.
But anyway, I rewatched that episode last night in preparation for the podcast, and oh my God. And I thought it was interesting. For those who don't know, it was a little bit of a different type of catfish because it was a woman who had taken on a persona online and was using it to, she changed her username to somebody else's username, this girl named Felicia. and was using it to basically bully all of Felicia's real life friends, mm-hmm. pretending to be her, for like 2 years.
And having no connection to Felicia at all.
Yeah.
Like they didn't live in the same town. They didn't know each other at all. Like they had no history.
No. And they were like 14 or something when this was all going on. And then just dropped off the face of the earth. And then recently came back online and started kind of contacting this girl, Felicia, again. So Felicia's like, I need to find out who this is so we can get her to stop. And when they went to confront the girl, they found out who she was through investigation techniques like Google. And then when they went to confront her, she was like, first of all, delighted to be on television and on Catfish, like just giggling. I guess she was 20, she said. It was her birthday.
She said she had just turned 20, yes.
Yeah. But acted about 10. And was giggling and happy and just thought the whole thing was hilarious. And Neve and Max and Felicia were like, do you understand? Like, you this was serious and you were bullying people. And it could have led, you know, people have killed themselves over cyberbullying. And she was just like, oh, ha, 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 no, that wouldn't happen. And it was messed up.
But not just said that wouldn't happen, said things like, nothing bad ever happens to me. Like, in those words. Like,
and then her mom is sitting there like, really? Something bad's about to happen to you. Although, that was too late. And then I think the show wanted us to think that she was acting out because her father had a stroke or something. But her mom just seemed like completely defeated by her, which, given that I think this person has, you know, an asocial personality disorder, like, I would be harder on the mom, but there's no disciplining that. Just make it get a job, move out, and change the locks.
Yeah, don't let her work at a daycare center, because I'm not sure she should be around children.
Oh, yeah, yikes.
Yeah, but as this show goes, I mean, it was a horrible story, but it was a great episode. Like, it's hard to talk about the show in ways that don't make you also seem like a monster.
When you were explaining it, and I thought the person that they were going to catch was going to be a mom.
Oh.
I thought she was bullying her, like, daughter's friend
or something.
That.
Yeah, no.
Like one of those
on
weird...
that SVU episode with the, what's her name, from Goodfellas. Were they at the, like, pregnancy club?
Oh, yeah. That was a combo of two real stories.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Have we said on this, I can't remember if it was the last time we talked about Catfish or whether it was off air. Mm-hmm. But that Catfish, what has to happen is that Max needs to become way more famous than Neve.
He's on his way.
I know, because he just directed that film. But I really want that film to hit big and win lots of indie awards. I don't even know what the hell's about. But whatever it is, I want it to really get big. So Max is like, I got to leave the show. And then you know that's going to bug the host so much because he thinks he's just God's gift to everything.
Well, we should talk a little bit about Max because he's really turned it around for Sarah D. Bunting. You used to hate him.
Oh, my God. I totally hated him. And here's the thing. I can't figure out whether Max has improved.
Mm-hmm. Or if you have Cat Holm syndrome.
I might have Cat Holm syndrome. Because when I first, I had a Let's Talk It Out about which of the hosts is worst with our esteemed colleague, Stephanie Green, which you can find on the site, previously.tv. Mm-hmm. She did not sway me to her stance that Neve is worse, but she made some good points about Max. But at the time, I had not watched that much Catfish. I had not been live tweeting it with Tara at all. So maybe Max seems better because I have more experience with the show.
Yeah.
Whatever reason to be. Maybe Neve is annoying me more. I mean, I know he definitely is, but maybe Max seems not as bad by comparison. I don't know exactly what the reason is, but I feel like maybe because as Catfish, the show continues and sort of has been morphing into this thing that has to defend against its own, not success exactly, but like ubiquity or something, that there is more of a place for Max being withering and self-important.
Mm-hmm.
In the way that used to annoy me, because it's like, who the fuck are you? But then it's like, well, who the fuck are any of these people? So why shouldn't you say what we're kind of all thinking? Like when he's like, are you on drugs?
Yeah.
Thank you. Are you?
Yeah.
Why aren't you?
But I think what the difference to me is that Neve seems to have taken on this idea of like, we're helping people find love, even though that happens like 1% of the time. Yeah. That he has to be the stand-in for that stance, I guess. And Max can be more direct and like can puncture those sorts of moments with like, you know, like when he asked Tracy, do you take drugs? Whereas Neve has to be like, well, maybe like up until the moment there's no way to deny it anymore. He always acts like he thinks the person that they're investigating is really who they say they are. And so Max is more of the audience standing now, I think. Yeah, right.
Which there's almost never any, like they feel embarrassed mm-hmm. but bad about doing it. That's seldom. And he's like, but you feel really bad for lying, right? And they're like, sure.
Well, I've noticed there's less of that this season too, that a lot of in season three, when they would have what they call couch time there, it would always end with like, but you're so smart, you could do better than this. Like, no. Yeah. Anyway, sorry, Kim, I interrupted you. What were you going to say?
Oh, no. I was just thinking that what Dave was saying about they have to do something to change the format of the show or something because people are kind of catching on, like sort of like when back in the day when Ashton Kutcher did Punk'd and then he had to take a break for a while so mm-hmm. people would stop thinking they were getting punked.
Yeah.
But that's why the Felicia episode to me was so interesting because it was kind of a different take on catfishing, not a romantic take.
Yeah.
And maybe that's a way that the show could go, but only if Neve gets off the high horse about, like, I just wish somebody would have been able to, you know, sit down and say, you are messed up and you need help.
Yep.
To the girl who is doing the cyberbullying.
Tracy.
Because, yeah, Tracy. Because I felt like Neve wanted to be like her counselor or something.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what qualifications do you have exactly right. to lead this intervention? Because being on the show Catfish and being catfished yourself, not really cutting it for me. Like, she needs bigger help than you, Neve. Like, I wanted to see a thing at the end where they're like, and we paid for Tracy to see right. a counselor or something.
Like, because, on Hoarders. Yeah, what was exactly. her aftercare situation? Yeah, I agree. They also yeah. the other thing that the other different episode that sort of played into what I thought the show was going to evolve into back in season two, when I thought they're going to run out of catfish pretty soon. Not true, obviously, but that it was going to turn into a show where it's just like, we just fly people out to meet the person they've been talking to online, and then they really are in love and everyone's happy, and it's more like a conventional dating show, which is what happened with, now I don't remember their names, but the ones who pretended that they didn't know each other and they totally did. The one woman yeah. was the, yeah. she worked at a fast food place, and then the other one was a stripper, and then they were like, yep. psych, we totally have been Skyping this whole time, whoops. But I thought that's what every episode was going to turn into, and it hasn't, but it still could.
And then together they opened a store that sells chicken strips.
All right, I feel like we can move on from there. Good job, Dave.
All right, it's time to go around the dial. Everybody's bringing something about TV to the table, and we're going to start with Tara.
Two big high-profile revivals this week that I'm very excited about, times two. One, America's Best Dance Crew, coming back!
Is this Randy Johnson Presents America's Best Dance Crew?
No,
or have they chopped the title a bit?
Well, first of all, Randy Johnson is a pitcher. He was never involved with America's Best
Dance Jackson. Crew.
You said Johnson.
I said Johnson.
You know, you meant Jackson.
He's a Hall of Fame dancer now.
I don't know if Randy Jackson is still involved or if somebody else is running the franchise. But anyway, it's been fallow for a few years. But yep. now it seems like there's some kind of like mini competition that's just leads up to the VMAs. But if you didn't know about it, it's probably because for some unknown godforsaken reason, they're airing it outside of primetime. So it comes back Wednesday, July 29th at 11 p.m. on MTV, right after Catfish. So check it out. I definitely will be very excited to see what crews have been doing since the show was off. And also the other one is the Wet Hot American Summer TV series coming to Netflix. It drops. There's 8 episodes on July 31st. We got screeners, so we watched the first 6,
yep.
which at that point, just give us
give
all
us
8.
The other
I don't know why
yeah.
you would hold back 2.
Really?
It's really different than when there's 13. But anyway, we finished watching the last 4 of 6 on the weekend, and it's really funny.
It's solid. Yeah,
it's
good.
Really good. I was nervous, but it's pretty good. It's definitely true to the original yep. in all ways. Everyone looks amazing. John Hamm is in it. There's a whole bunch of new cast members that are great. John Slattery is also really funny as a theater director in a gold chain. So this is the first day of camp as opposed to the last day of camp, which the movie is. So it's very rich and layered and extremely silly and dumb.
Yeah, and the can comes back. The can plays a part.
And we find out the backstory of the can.
Yeah.
So that's very exciting. Yes, the can has a backstory, and you're going to learn what it is. Recommended. Wet Hot American Summer.
All right, Kim. Now, in the doc where we read, all it says is Kim's most awesome thing. So I'm very excited it's back.
Yes. Well, let me give some backstory because not everybody's been following my career for the past 12 years or so. I know, hard to believe. Back when I used to recap The Real World for Television Without Pity, I think it was in the Las Vegas season, maybe? Las Vegas or Austin, anyway.
Is this long enough ago that it would have been Mighty Big TV?
No.
Not quite?
No, okay. I don't think so.
Quite. All right.
I think it was post-Las Vegas, too, because that was a pretty juicy season. As I recall, it was something that you added when the season was really boring.
Probably Austin was last. Anyway, doesn't matter. When I used to recap The Real World, I used to get really bored because the show was kind of the same every week. And so I started dropping into the middle to reward people for reading that far. Something called The Most Awesome Thing I Saw on TV Last Week, where I would just give these really quick recaps of whatever I was watching. Sometimes it was TV movies. Sometimes it was, in looking back at what I did a lot of Starting Over. Remember that show?
Yes.
Talked about that a lot.
And Little show. House anyway, on the Prairie.
And it's funny you mentioned, Tara, because right now I'm going to tell you about The Most Awesome Thing I Saw on TV Last Week, which was one of the later episodes of Little House on the Prairie. So,
awesome.
In this episode, Laura announces that she's pregnant, and then Ma's like, hey, me too, which I found kind of creepy, but I guess in those days when people got married at like 16, it would have been a lot more common because no one else seems to be really shocked or grossed out or whatever.
They probably both went into the Cabbage Patch at the same time.
Yes, two storks for the price of one. Mm. So Pa's all fired up because he thinks he might finally get a son, which is kind of rude to Albert because even though he's adopted, they always made a point telling him he was an Ingalls and shit. So then Ma goes to Doc Baker to find out when she's due. And I'm glad I don't live in Walnut Grove because you go to the same doctor for a cough, a broken leg, and a pregnancy test. Anyway, Doc Baker's like, you're not pregnant. And Ma insists that she's missed two cycles. And Doc Baker tells her she's going through the change, except he doesn't even say the change or menopause. And I remember watching this episode when I was a little kid and I did not know what in the hell was going on, and I think I asked my mom, but I doubt I got a satisfactory answer. So Ma begs Doc Baker not to tell Pa and promises to tell him herself in time. So Ma practically has a nervous breakdown on the way home because she doesn't think Pa will love her anymore because she's not a whole woman. Gross. So then Doc Baker finds out that Ma hasn't told Pa yet, and he basically blackmails her into telling him. Like, what business is it of Doc Baker's anyway? Oh, and I guess they didn't have doctor-patient confidentiality or HIPAA on the Prairie. So then Albert runs and gets Pa at the sawmill and says that Ma's crying in bed. So Pa rushes home, and Ma lies and says that she lost the baby. So Pa goes to see Doc Baker, and Doc Baker's like, I'm sorry that I didn't tell you earlier. And Pa's no slouch in the brains department, so he figures out that Ma was never pregnant at all. Ugh. And Doc Baker explains why Ma lied. So then Pa goes and sees Laura for some reason, and she tells him to prove to Ma that he still loves her. Like, isn't Laura a little too involved in her parents' marriage? So Pa decides to take Ma out of town on a vacation to go on a wedding of the son of their childhood friends. And on the way, they stop and camp out because there was no Motel 6 back then. And Pa makes up this whole story about how he didn't even know if he wanted the baby because he would be an old dad, and he was looking forward to having alone time with Ma. And she says she was feeling the same way. And I guess they had a change of heart about two seasons later when they adopted James and Cassandra. And meanwhile, they still have Grace, who's like two, so there isn't going to be any alone time for a while, but whatever. So then they meet their friends and the friend's family, and they go to see Ma's childhood home, and Ma goes up to her old bedroom window, and Pa climbs up the trellis, and they reminisce about how Pa proposed right there. And then, of course, the trellis breaks, and Pa goes crashing to the ground.
Hi, Jake.
But he's okay.
Okay. Yeah.
And then they decide to renew their vows. Like, did people even do that back then? So then the son of the childhood friend asks Ma and Pa to make it a double wedding. And if there's anything smurfier than a double wedding, it's a double wedding where one couple's renewing their vows. So Ma and Pa renew their vows, and Ma's happy once again, and she totally forgets that she's a barren shell of a woman, and everyone is happy, which is awesome.
Wow. Well done.
It's back.
How is Kim not doing a marathon Diary of Little House on the Prairie for the site?
Because there's 7,000 episodes.
Is there? Do you know how many seasons there are?
So many.
Is there like over 10?
However, since you mentioned Kim and a marathon diary, this is a good chance to plug. Kim is doing a marathon Diary of the Good Wife, which you can follow with on previously.tv.
And also another thing we forgot to plug, which is Catfish. You do the previously TV now account, which is on Twitter.
I do.
You do live sort of tweeting.
I do.
It. Yeah.
Yep.
Now it's Sarah's turn for Around the Dial.
Humans.
Heard of them.
Heard of them.
Welcome. Heard of them. I have also heard of them and also of the show, but it was one of those things that I hadn't like prioritized watching, even though many people told me that I would love it. I started watching it. I love it.
Yep.
Realizing how good it was and how much I liked it and still having like 3 or 4 episodes to go before it was caught up is like that feeling that you get on the Sunday night of a long weekend. You're like, oh, and you're watching like the 60 minutes clock, which Angela Chase was like the most depressing sound in the world. And then you're like, oh yeah, I have a whole other day.
Yep.
The world building is really good and not too heavy handed. William Hurt is the most likable he's been in a decade.
Yeah.
And the characters are so like relatable and well done that even when it's like Friday Night Lights, actually, that even when you know you're being manipulated, you like the characters and performances so much that you don't mind. So Humans.
Heard of them.
How far along are you? Are you caught up like to the last
two
episode?
And a half in? I had to stop so that Dan's like, oh, you found good TV? Like if I'm watching TV and not yelling at it and I do it without him, he's like, but aren't you going to wait for me? Because usually he has to sit there and just listen to me.
Are you married to Droopy?
Yes, Droopy Dan. Little known Deadwood character.
One of my favorite things about Humans is Max's smile.
Yes, he's so sweet.
Yeah.
He's a sweetie.
Yeah, it's one of my favorite. And
I love that they call him Maxie.
Maxie. Yeah. It's getting really good that we're one ahead because we flew to England. But there's still two more yet to air. One more. It's the season finale is this Sunday in the UK. But it's great. And I've been covering it for previously.tv, so you can check out my post on it if you wish.
All right. Went down another retro rabbit hole this week. And here are a couple. So there's this guy on YouTube. He just collects tapes. You know, if you have a tape that you happen to record on your VCR back when you were a kid, he'll pay to get it shipped to him so he can digitize it and everything. He just puts these tapes up on YouTube and whatever. So here are two ads, both from Saturday morning, both played in the same break.
Within the land of Tweedledee, the ships sail on and orange juice see. The pretzel trees line popcorn brooks, and coats are hung on banana hooks. The fruit car trains ride celery tracks, past factories with carrot stick stacks. The kids don't have much tooth decay, limiting sweets keeps it away. Making all these delicious snacks is a machine they call Old Max.
Okay, so Old Max, he looks like...
is that a nickname for Satan? Because
no,
that's what it sounds like.
I know,
like.
But Old so Scratch. If you imagine like a, 70s PSA cartoon style, you know exactly what this looks like. Max is like this machine, sort of like looks like a boiler room sort of machine, except he's part of it is a human face that looks like Buddy Hackett. And he is pumping out all these vegetables in a way that looks like he's like orgasming every time he sends one out. So that's a little gross, not really, all that germane to the message.
You're going to embed this in the show notes, right?
Oh, yeah. Okay.
The snacks is a machine they call Old Max. But one dark day, Old Max broke down. It sent a scare throughout the town. The doctors made their decision. Have all kids think good nutrition. They all thought hard of milk and meats, nuts and fruits and sugarless treats. Max regained his good condition thanks to thoughts of good nutrition. A tasteful message from the American Academy of Pediatrics and the American Dental Association.
I'm pretty sure you can probably get cavities from orange juice, too. There's a lot of sugar in it and acid.
Followed by...
Starburst fruit juice, a burst of refreshing fruit flavor for you. Tastes like mouth-watering orange, strawberry too, luscious lemon.
And now a tempting new flavor, tasty tangy cherry.
There's a burst of refreshing fruit flavor for you in Starburst Fruit Chews, naturally and artificially flavored.
So we're learning a couple things.
First of all, old Max killed himself. That's what happened after that commercial.
Yeah, we're learning that, you know, kids, you want to eat fruit trains on celery tracks, or do you want to dig into Starburst now with an exciting fourth flavor, guys?
I also like how they don't bother to describe strawberry in any kind of enticing way, which is correct. It's the shittiest flavor.
Overruled. It's the best.
How come Starburst doesn't have lime? That's one they should have.
It doesn't. I think in like other packagings have lime.
Yeah, I know you can get the tropical stuff or whatever, but
yeah.
Anyway, so that's the war on teeth from early 80s on Saturday morning cartoons.
At no point in your rambling, incoherent response were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought. Everyone in this room is now
dumber
for
having listened to it.
Never. Never going to sync up, guys.
All right. Fucking dome.
We can't.
No, we know. That's what makes it awesome, though.
Domer.
It is Domer. This week, I guess they didn't have much of a budget for a set because a lot of it took place with Mark Helgenberger and Dean Norris in cages opposite each other, with Dean Norris somehow deputized by Dr. Frank Whaley to, like, interrogate Christine and get her to give up all her secrets of what she is and what her endgame is as an alien avatar, whatever the fuck. Which she basically volunteers in, like, the first phase of their conversation, so I don't know why it has to keep going. But anyway, long story short, this is the least well-defended base of an evil private military contractor ever, because Junior and Barbie alone totally storm it and kill everybody. And so now Big Jim is out on the loose and Christine is back in town and she's still mind controlling everyone. It's so stupid. And so one of the few people who has figured out what her deal is Sam, who is the Eddie Cahill character. So he gets her to admit that she tricked some other idiot into killing herself with pills that somehow exist still after 3 weeks, like they wouldn't have all been taken on the first day. But anyway, so he gets her to admit that she did that, and she does. And then he stabs her in the side and leaves. He's an EMT. Like, if he wanted her to die, wouldn't he know exactly where to stab her? That would actually be a killing blow. It's ridiculous. So then Junior has to bring her back to the caves, and she gets re-cocooned, covered in goo, and somehow he's like, yep, that's what should happen.
Back in a kokoma?
She's back in her kokuma. And that's where we left them off. So I don't know who's going to be in charge of all the idiots in Under the Dome Land now, but that's where we're at.
Wow.
How is this a show on television?
I don't get it either.
Sometimes I stop and just think, like, how many people were involved in this getting to me? It just seems like such a waste of everyone's efforts.
Every week I listen to you describe it, and I just think, first, I'm sorry that you have to watch it. And yep. Second, like, there's other people who watch it, apparently.
Yeah.
And are they all watching it going, what is happening? Or are they like, oh my God, I can't wait to see what that Junior is up to this week? I don't understand.
I mean, there must be, right? Like, there can't be that many people that are hate watching it. It can't possibly be. But I don't know how they have managed to do this many seasons of it, because there's so little. They have so few ideas. And now it just seems like they're trying to elide all the real world problems that these people would be having. Like, for example, someone fell off a roof last week. And
was it Pa?
No, it wasn't Pa. It was fucking Hunter. Fell off a roof, and then he tried to blame it on Nori, which was not her fault. He was trying to yank her off, and then he legitimately fell. Now he's paralyzed. So they went to get the x-ray machine from the clinic, because now every operation, everything is happening at town hall, because they only have one set. And so they made Joe, this fucking teenager, they were like, go set up the solar panels. Like, sure, why not? And so the last thing we see is like him just moving the actual physical panels around. Like they're not attached to anything. And then two scenes later, they're like, great, the solar panels are working. Let's fire up this x-ray machine. And then they totally are looking at the x-rays like, yep, you'll never walk again. That happens within 10 minutes of show. I'm not even kidding. It's absurd.
I don't know the scientific explanation, but fire from the sun made it good.
But like, wouldn't it have to be, even if he did manage to hook them up somehow, which like, let's assume that he did, even though he's 16. Sure, why not? Let's pretend he did. Wouldn't they have to like collect solar energy for a while before they could like start using them? But that obviously doesn't happen in the show.
For an x-ray machine, one would think. For a Game Boy, probably not.
Maybe not. So I assume that they're just going to like in the next couple of episodes find someone else who's like, oh, she had a store of food. Oh, he had a store of pills, because they just keep like finding stuff that they need conveniently. Oh, the show. That's what's up with Dill.
Let's move on to something much less dumb. We bought into a zoo. That was the 30-second theme. Now down to 15 seconds. Maybe I'll double it every week until we're done. Tara, problem with zoo is that by the time we talk about it, it's like 6 days old. I forgot what happened. So remind me.
So agent guy from Enlisted has shown up. He's in Mississippi investigating this.
He's on to all your tricks.
This wolf attack on the prison. The head of the wolf whisperer, who we decided is now named Charles Animalson, not Manson. He's on the loose. He's getting up to mischief in the woods. Frenchie had no cover story to talk her way into the prison, yet it worked. The only person who figured it out was agent guy from Enlisted. And then she had Jackson and girl reporter pretend that they were her cohorts from the French embassy. And then they just like totally talked in their American accents with no sign that they were any kind of French at all.
The only thing they didn't do was like start talking about NASCAR.
Speaking of NASCAR. So then Abraham and Mitch had to go to like a gun store to buy non-lethal weapons to try and trap the wolves in the woods. And Abraham bought a net gun. And so we spent a lot of time talking about how fun it would be to have a net gun to just like shoot at the dog or each other or whatever. So we may yet get one. I bet.
But
they
here's the thing
Amazon.
About a net gun is it doesn't work in a forest. I mean, especially a sort of a brushy forest like they were in. Like there's all these fine twigs and leaves everywhere. Your net gun would immediately get caught on something. You need an open area to shoot a net gun. If Planet of the Apes taught us nothing else, the original, is that you need an open field in which to throw a net to capture somebody. You can't shoot a net in thick brush.
Well, Abraham is used to the savannah, so that may have seemed reasonable to him.
Yeah, but that's just grass.
Right.
That's not brush. Oh, it's different. You'll get a tangle.
I understand, but I'm saying that's why he bought it.
Yeah.
I'm retconning this show as if it fucking
But the other thing about
it.
the NASCAR redneck scene Abraham is the hunter, and he's with the
a veterinary pathologist.
Yes, that's right. And who's basically like your MSNBC style left wing, you know, capital L liberal nut bar.
Who hates people, loves animals.
Picking a fight wherever he can, including
In a gun store. Let's be reasonable.
And really going at it, too. Like the only thing that wasn't said in this speech, well, he's not my president. You know, like one of the rednecks didn't say that. But otherwise, it was exactly the scene you
And yet all these Mississippi rednecks let the African talk them down from this as if they wouldn't have turned on him, too. Sorry, rednecks. No, it's true. Anyway, Zoo is a bad show. Go ahead.
I have a question about this show.
Please.
Mm-hmm. Is this show on CBS as well?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Okay, I have another follow-up.
Yep.
What the hell is going on with summer television? Yeah. Like, our network's just... CBS is just throwing whatever shit on TV, and who cares?
Well...
And NBC is like, America's Got Talent and Dateline reruns. Like, what is going on?
Yeah. Well, all the good shows are on cable, so that might be why networks aren't trying.
Yep.
But CBS has like apparently made this whole like Summer is for Sci-Fi thing like a legit programming strategy, because at the ATX festival where it was last month, they had a panel that was a writer from Under the Dome, a writer from Zoo, and a writer from Extant, that Halle Berry show that is terrible. So that seems to be, that's their summer thing. It's like, we're only showing new episodes of Big Brother and these three pieces of shit. Yeah. So people must watch them, I guess. I mean, I'm watching two of the three, so who am I to judge? But
well, thank God for cable anyways during this period, because it's been a pretty good summer on cable. You know, with the Humans and Mr. Robot. It's enjoyable, even though I think it's kind of, it's hitting, Mr. Robot's hitting that place where there is, he's got 2 pounds of story in a 10-pound bag.
Yeah.
I feel like they're starting to stretch it out, and it's getting a little less enjoyable, but anything else on Zoo? Any other questions we can answer about Zoo? No? All right. Moving on.
Can't answer them.
Dear Mr. President, there are too many states nowadays. Please eliminate three. I am not a crackpot.
My name is Zoe, and I am not a crackpot. I have a huge pet peeve with actors not knowing how to, or possibly set people not knowing what to do with touchscreen iPhone things. Now that people can actually see the screens as people are pushing things on the television, it drives me absolutely bonkers up the wall mad when I can see the answer or decline buttons. I'm looking at you, Arrow. You have so many guilty instances of this. You can't just pick up the phone and start talking. You have to press something. And if you're talking to someone on the phone, it probably means that you pressed answer. So please, that would be great if you could stop doing that. Also, I was once watching an episode of The Good Wife where Diane Lockhart actually answered the phone and held it upside down to her face. You can't tell me somebody didn't notice that right away, or like when she took it down off of her face. So please, I am not a crackpot. Now that you're using fancy touch screens, it would be absolutely fantastic if you could teach your actors how to hold and press the right buttons on the phone. Thank you.
I know Dave has a corollary to this one.
Which is what?
Oh, that you hate it when people are talking on the phone and you can see the home screen.
Oh yeah. Well, she mentioned that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. She mentioned the part where you get a call and, you know, you can see the accept or decline screen, and they're still somehow talking into it. Embarrassing admission from not too recent ago in my life, which is I bought a skin for my iPhone 6. You know, the one that's sort of like sticky and you stick on it, because I don't really like cases that much. So I bought basically a sticker to go on the back of it so it wouldn't get scratched. And it's got die cuts for everything, right? And the bottom of the iPhone has like these little holes for the speaker. Mm-hmm. And when I peeled off the sticker, the little holes didn't stay on the backing. And so all those little holes were blocking the speaker. And I didn't figure it out for about 4 days. Everybody I was talking to on the phone, and this was during a time when we were talking to like real estate people and contractors when we're moving and stuff. And they're all like, you got a really bad connection. I can't hear you. I'm like, no, you stupid fucks, it's your connection. I tell you. And I looked at the bottom of my phone after a couple of days. Oh, fuck me. So, you know, it happens to the best of us. But this is iPhone 101 stuff. Like, you got to press a button to take a call. You have to actually, like, when you hold it up to your head, the screen goes off.
Yeah.
Like, you don't need, like, some sort of fancy, like, I suspect they actually make JPEGs of some of the screens in order for the screen to always be on. Right. Somehow, like, somebody's like, people won't understand if the phone screen's off. How are they actually talking on the phone, or is it really off? Like, you know, like, Earl, the 67-year-old, you know, prop master is making these decisions, I think.
Just to piggyback on Zoe's thing, my complaint, and I at some point need to start actually taking screenshots of all the instances, but like people on TV shows that take place in the current day are still using iPhones from like 4 generations ago with the old kind of charger plug.
Oh yeah.
Like not the, what is it called? The lightning?
Yep.
Yeah. But from which have been out since 2012. Like people who work for a law firm in our time have the newest iPhone, I think.
You think?
Yes. I do. There was one.
Law firm? Yeah. Okay.
There was an instance on Benched when someone who was like supposed to be this super fucking hotshot had an old phone. Like that would never happen. He would have the modernist phone. But also, people on Under the Dome have iPhone 6s. Continue, Dave.
Do you remember when we started at Bravo after we sold the site and they gave us those coal powered hand crank blackberries?
Oh, yes.
That were like mono and like it had like the Game Boy screen on them and everything.
That was admittedly like 3 days before the iPhone came out, but it was like as soon as they came out, they were like, these are the oldest things in the universe.
You could really tell where in the pecking order you were at NBC based on the company phone they got. They gave you. And it was like, really? Like, I never turned it on. I just put it in the drawer. Do I have to use this? Or like, yes? Like, I doubt it. Nobody's going to call me.
And they never did, as far as you know.
All right, it's time for an extra hot great ad about extra hot great ads. Remember, for $50, you can send somebody a personal message or an ad about yourself. Tell us a little bit about yourself, your name, your hobbies, what show you like. It only costs you $50. Or you can wish somebody else a happy birthday. You can do something stupid. You can even like make a case for why people should be watching your favorite show. That's an option too. $100 for an actual business ad. If you are selling a product, you want to get some more eyeballs in it, and you think our audience is a match, all you have to do is go to previously.tv, hit the EHG nav item, and click buy an ad, and we'll talk shop. We can make the ad for you, or we can play your ad. We're easy. Let's do this thing. All right, it's time for the Canon. Kim, take it away.
Okay, so the first time I did a Canon submission, I chose an episode of Parks and Rec that I was pretty sure was going to get accepted into the Canon, and it did, because I was scared. And so now I've got a little bit more confidence, and I went a little bit riskier this time. Not too risky. I didn't get crazy. But I chose an episode of Friday Night Lights, Season 1, Episode 20, Mud Bowl. Because it's such a serialized show, it may be difficult for non-viewers of the series to get into this one episode, which comes late in the first season. And not every ongoing plot is a winner. So I'm going to go through them in order from not so great to great. So starting with not so great, Riggins is hooking up with his single mom neighbor, and they're trying to keep it from her kid. This plot line is dumb, and the kid is annoying, but it does allow for the episode to open with sleepy, post-sex, must-hair Riggins. So it's not all bad. Billy Riggins makes a brief appearance to offer some sensible advice about the relationship in this clip.
Where the hell are you going?
Jackie's.
You're going over to Jackie's again.
Is that kid calling you daddy yet?
Mm-mm. Doesn't know anything about it.
I might not have a PhD in stupid like you do, but I'm going to tell you right now, this is going to turn out badly. And hell, it's probably going to end badly right around state.
Okay, so Billy Riggins, for once, making some good advice, and that's about all I have to say about that storyline. So next, Smash has broken up with his girlfriend Waverly because she's confessed that she's bipolar and has exhibited evidence to that, and she's off her meds, and he doesn't know how to handle it. So Lila befriends Waverly so they can bond over how much men suck, and they go shooting guns together. Maybe not the best occupation for a bipolar person who's off their meds. Smash sees them together, and he struggles with whether or not to tell Lila what he knows. He finally does, and of course, Lila tells Waverly, and she confronts Smash about it in this clip.
You told Lila Gary that I'm bipolar?
I love you, okay? I love you. Okay, and you're right, I have no idea what you're dealing with, but you're not helping me, okay? You tell me you're sick, but you're not taking your pills. And then you start acting a little crazy, and now you're doing things to endanger yourself and everybody else around you. I'm the only one who knows about it, and I can't tell nobody? No, no, that's not fair. Okay, I'd do anything for you, but that's too much. I think you need to talk to somebody. Maybe a dad or...
No, I can't talk to my dad.
What
no.
about my mom?
Why?
She's a nurse. She's a nurse, and she knows you. She can help. Because, baby, I don't think you're okay. And you can stay mad at me if you want to, but it's not going to change my mind about anything I just said.
So sure, it's melodramatic, but so is high school. And when I was rewatching this, it struck me as really true to a lot of high school relationships. Although Smash's accent gets a little slippery in there, but it was nice to see another side of Smash, not just the cocky football player. Paralyzed former star quarterback Jason Street is trying to pick up the pieces of his life and figure out what's next, but his parents are pressuring him to sue not just the school, but also Coach Taylor. The pressure is affecting his parents' marriage as well as his own self-esteem. For example, if his parents think they need the money to support him for life, does that mean he's doomed to be an invalid? He also feels extremely guilty about suing Coach Taylor, who is like a father to him. The only thing that brings him any joy is helping Matt Saracen prepare for the big game in this clip.
Turn your body, just straight. Just straight, Saracen. You got to keep your head up field, keep your feet light. Get back on the line.
I think I might maybe throw up.
What, you want to go home, Saracen? I mean, if you want to go home, I mean, I got a busy day, too. I can go home. I'm picking paper, check in on Oprah.
Something wrong with Oprah, Saracen?
No, Oprah's, I like
no,
Oprah.
No, nothing is wrong with Oprah. Team's defensive linemen, three of them run a 4.6 40. So that makes them not only bigger than you, but faster than you. They're going to be in your chili all night, and unless you listen to me, you're going to be eating an awful lot of turf. You want that?
I don't want to eat turf.
All right, then listen. Keep your feet light, okay? As soon as I tell you where the pressure's coming from, stay on your toes, get it out quick so you don't get hit, all right?
So that sets up not only the challenges that Saracen is going to face in the football game at the end of the episode, but also Street's storyline in the first season was kind of a downer, understandably so. So it was nice for him to have a moment where he gets to bust Saracen's balls, which is always fun, and talk football. So Street and Lila are supposed to be engaged, which was a terrible idea, but they've been drifting apart as they realize how much their planned future together has changed. She finally confronts him when she visits him at home and finds him lying on the couch watching TV in our next clip.
Listen, I know it may be a lot to ask of you to call me so that I know whether or not we're engaged or boyfriend and girlfriend are just real good pals.
Get off my back, Lila! What do I have right now, huh? I got a girlfriend who cheated on me. I got parents who are breaking up because of some stupid lawsuit. I lost a coach, lost a team, lost my friends, lost a quad rugby. So I got nothing. So I'm sorry if I'm not being the perfect boyfriend right now, but I got a lot more on my mind than powder puff in prom. And this cup is way too full. I'll spill it. You know that.
No, it's not too full.
What the hell was that for?
You think it's been easy for me to help you in and out of that chair?
Well, no one's holding a gun to your head, Lila.
I do it because I love you, stupid. But now you're sitting here feeling sorry for yourself and acting like a jackass all the time. You want to play rugby? Find another team. You hate this lawsuit so much? Find a way to make it go away. Next time you want a glass of water, say please.
Yeah, Lila. So I was never the biggest fan of Minka Kelly's acting or Lila as a character, especially in the first season. But this was the first time I liked her in the series. And from a character standpoint, it was the first time that Jason and Lila got real with each other about what his accident was doing to them and their relationship. So Street and his parents meet with the Taylors, the school, and the lawyers for a settlement conference. The Streets are asking for a ton of money that no one has to give, and they seem to be at an impasse until Jason takes charge. He writes down an amount that would eliminate his parents' debt and save their home, and assures his parents that he can take care of himself going forward so they don't need to worry about that. While we don't see the amount, it's clearly much less than the millions they were originally asking for, as the school's lawyers quickly agree. Coach Taylor stands up, clearly moved by Street taking his life back and doing the right thing, and just points at him. And Kyle Chandler, as usual, says so much with a facial expression and a gesture, and it just slayed me. I think I watched that moment 4 or 5 times in a row. Anyway, I'm getting emotional just thinking about it. Moving on to the next plot. Landry hatches a plan to become Tyra's algebra tutor because he has had a crush on her all season and he thinks this will help him get closer to her. And Saracen gives him shit because it's so obvious what he's trying to do in this clip.
Good morning, Tyra. How you doing?
Yeah, I'm gonna go. I'll call you later.
Yeah.
Okay.
Where's she going?
She's going to the library. She has some algebra final.
Going to the library?
Yeah.
I'll let y'all talk. Whatever y'all were doing. Why are you looking at me so weird?
Just curious where you're going.
I'm gotta go.
Yeah, return really some books.
So anyway, Landry convinces Tyra to let him be her tutor, and he seems to help her. And she asks him to meet again on Friday night in this clip, which I apologize, this one's a little long, but I felt like you needed the whole thing to see their relationship. So here's the clip.
Okay, now what do you got after you take off the times three?
Okay, the square root of x equals 7.
How do you get rid of that pesky little square root right there?
Square both sides.
Mm-hmm. Good.
Good.
You square both sides.
Yeah. You know, if you love math so much, why don't you just start your own little math club? That way you can do math all day long.
Well, you see, I did, but nobody showed up.
Yeah, it's shocking. Really.
You know, all this bitterness that you're showing me really isn't helping. You know, I appreciate the fact you're talking to me and everything, but it's not really, it's not really helping matters. So can we just maybe solve for X?
All right. X equals 49?
This is funny. That's right.
Bastard! I hate you!
That wasn't funny, was it? Good job. Congratulations. You got it all by yourself.
If you're not doing anything on Friday, maybe we could get together and study.
Study, yeah.
Great. It's a date then.
Okay, two things about that clip. One is the fact that he says yes to whatever she's proposing before she can even get it out of her mouth, which is hilarious. And the look on his face when she says it's a date just kills me again because he's so hopeful and thinks that, you know, maybe this is going to work out. I was such a sucker for Landry on this show, and maybe I related a little too much to being the bookish nerd in a town full of football players and supporters. That could be it. All right, so Landry probably willfully misinterprets that she called it a date, and Saracen tries to point this out as he accompanies Landry to the barber so Landry can get a haircut in this clip.
Is that you over there snickering? Yes, she said date. It's a date.
Yeah, I know, but it's a date. It's an expression. It's like a colloquialism.
Well, she
used
said
everywhere.
That expression.
What's that girl's name?
Her name is Tyra.
Tyra.
And you know, I'm really just about tired of being a supporting actor and about ready to be a leading man, Matt.
Okay.
You know, that's gonna be a big night for us, so you might as well just accept that.
I accept it's gonna be a huge night. I mean, you're probably gonna square a lot of numbers, maybe figure out a quadratic
that's
equation
cute.
Or
that's,
something like
that's
that.
That's really cute. I'm really laughing on the inside.
No, it's adorable what you're
I know.
Doing.
It is. You know what, Matt? I'm going to go, and I'm going to tell her how I feel. I'm gonna declare myself to her. Okay? And you need to just accept that. Carl, not too tight, please.
All right, okay.
I'm going to look all frayed when I go and see my lady.
So Saracen and Landry's friendship throughout the series was so natural and so realistic, and I enjoyed pretty much every scene they had together, which you can probably tell because I clipped them all. It was a strength of the writers and directors to just trust these two actors and their natural chemistry to make their scenes feel like a slice of life instead of two guys being paid to recite words on a page. So on the night in question, Landry's car won't start, and he can't meet Tyra at the diner. So Tyra waits a while, and after assuming she got stood up, she heads out. Another patron who is chatting with her follows her and attempts to rape her. Tyra manages to fight him off with the help of the truck's cigarette lighter, and Landry shows up just in time to comfort her as she's sobbing in the pouring rain. You can see the conflicting emotions on Landry's face. He's a teenage boy, so there's a part of him that for a second is psyched that he gets to hold Tyra so close. But then the enormity of what just happened washes over him. And there's also a small part of him that slowly realizes that this probably isn't the greatest time to declare his love for Tyra, which was his original plan, and it might never be a good time for that now. This plot ends up going to legendarily bad places in the second season, but on original viewing, we didn't even know for sure if there would be a second season. So taking in that context, I really loved how the nerd's crush on the hot girl was handled in the first season because it went in surprising directions. But the main plot of the episode is that the Dillon Panthers are preparing to play the Brant Vikings at home in the state semifinals. The town is in a frenzy, and it seems to Coach Taylor that everyone is trying to make a buck off of his team, a point only emphasized when Matt Saracen finds an envelope full of cash in his locker. Before Coach Taylor can deal with the issue, there's an explosion outside, a train has derailed, and the ensuing spill means that school is shut down and Dillon won't be able to play the game at home. Brant offers to play the game in a nearby stadium, but it will practically give them a home field advantage, and Coach Taylor turns them down. And then Coach Taylor has a brilliant idea. They can play in a vacant field in the middle of nowhere. He collects his wife Tammy from home, takes her to a cow-filled field in the middle of nowhere, and pitches her the idea. And again, it's a long clip with some silences, but it really gets to the heart of the Taylor's relationship. The next clip.
Where would people park?
I don't know.
And how would you put lights in here?
I don't know that either.
Where would people pee?
Well, I don't know. They could use cups for all I care. I don't know. Cows agree with me. I don't see why you can't
agree.
Why
can't
you? The cows are more supportive than you are.
You know I'm supportive. I'm just thinking, you know, I mean, you got a lot on your mind. You got this TMU thing, you know, lawsuit. I mean, this may not be the clearest thought that you've had in a while.
I'm getting pressured into giving up my home field advantage right now. You know, I'm getting players who are receiving gifts, and I've got a damn town that's full of, I don't know, they're money hungry. The whole damn thing.
I know.
I'm just, all I want to do is just.
Close your eyes. Pretend you're 10 years old again. Just playing. You're just playing. I want to play football.
So, I want to play football. This is kind of the thesis statement of Coach Taylor's character. And the fact that his wife is ultimately supportive, even though she can name 100 reasons why his idea won't work, once she realizes how much it means to him, is why so many people loved the Taylor's marriage as portrayed on the show. She's not blindly supportive. She's not a nag. She's a partner. Plus, the part where Connie Britton gets unexpectedly nuzzled by a cow cracked me up. So with his team's help and a little reverse psychology, Coach Taylor gets the field up to regulations and convinces Brandt's coach to play there. The night of the big game, Brandt takes an early lead, and then it starts pouring, giving the episode its title. It turns into a mud bowl. Dylan ties it up, and the referees call a conference at halftime to determine if the game can even continue due to field conditions. The Brandt coach thinks they should call it, but players on both sides want to continue. As the game nears the end, Coach Taylor gives one last inspirational speech to his team in our final clip.
Everything that has been asked of you this year and that you have asked of yourselves, gentlemen, comes down to this. Blood, sweat, and tears, it all stays right here on this field right now. This is our dirt. This is our mud. This is ours, baby. Clear eyes, full hearts, get loose.
You kind of want to take that clip and put it on like your workout mix so that you can, you know, do that one last set at the end of your workout. Anyway, so then young Matt Saracen, the quarterback that no one thought was ready to lead the team, engineers a drive that results in the Panthers scoring a touchdown in the final seconds and winning the game. Matt and Julie make out. Coach S. Street, who's been giving Saracen pointers all night, if he's ever thought about coaching, and the Panthers are headed to the state championship. I was tempted to choose one of the show's season finales for my canon submission because those tend to be the climax of the season, but those also tend to be centered completely around one particular football game. This episode had more of the non-football storylines and featured some of the trademark characteristics of a first season episode. Riggins was hot, Street was a decent person, Landry and Saracen busted each other's balls, and Coach and Tammy teamed up to do the right thing for the team despite external pressures. So that is why I am submitting Friday Night Lights Season 1, Episode 20, Mud Bowl, to the canon. What say you all?
Sarah, why don't you start?
Thank you so much for this submission. Very well crafted. I hadn't revisited this show in a while, and it was really like reconnecting with an old friend. I love the show. I love the score. I love Connie Britton's hair. Here's the thing about this episode. I'm not sure it's actually a quintessential Friday Night Lights episode for a couple of reasons. First of all, this show is tough because unless you go into the season of which we shall not speak, season two, it's pretty hard to find a dud. And even during season two, I feel like we were all watching it like, what is happening? Like, it was still a good, entertaining show, but we were just like, oh, why is this happening? What's with the shovel? Please stop. So Tyra's assault is really tense and well done from like a filmic standpoint, but that whole like where that went is super problematic. Your argument actually did change my mind about it a little because of your description of Landry, who I also love. But this show is tough to pick like one that stands head and shoulders above the rest, but this episode did feel a little bit neat to me. The football game like triumph seemed a little bit neat. Some of the speeches seemed a little bit neat. Like Smash's rant, I think, you know, he was correct about everything he said, but they needed to like de-writer-fy it a little bit.
Like it was too polished. Like his speech was was too good for the moment. It should have been, you should have been stumbling over his feelings. Yeah.
Yeah. And that wasn't the only time. Like Coach Taylor's, I mean, I loved the, like, he's trying to convince Tammy that it's a good idea to build a field there. And then cows are just totally unconcerned, like mooing at key emotional points of the scene. But then that, you know, there's something about like speeches in which it's like, let's just get back to, you know, being a kid and playing the game. Like in any context, I'm not a super fan of those. They're both great and they elevate the material, but some of the writing felt a little bit on the nose. I do think, speaking of leaving it on the field, that because the show's future was in question, that everyone involved in putting the show together was trying not to leave anything undone. So I can grade on a curve for that, but I am actually still not sure at this point how I'm going to vote. Good episode, but I'm not sure it's a canon episode. Dave.
Oh, me? Otargo.
Next. Yeah, Dave wanted me to go next. I'm a little on the fence too. Cam, your clip choices are very convincing, though. I agree with your choice to...
Yep.
To soft soap the Riggins storyline because it's not good. And that kid is fucking annoying, but this is the least we've seen of him since he's come on the scene, as far as I can remember.
And that kid is equally annoying in his, he's in a notorious SVU with Luke Perry and what's her nuts from Modern Family.
Really? I don't remember that at all.
And he's even more annoying in that.
Yeah, he sucks. But post-sex Riggins is not bad. So I understand, like, I get your point of why you still included this one as opposed to an episode that's before or after their relationship. And I agree about Lila as well. This was the best that she ever was this whole season. And, you know, the gun scene was a weird choice for Waverly under the circumstances. But they were both pretty cool in that scene. That was fun to watch. But I feel a little bit like Sarah that it's like it's so hard for the show because it's every episode is so good. That trying to find one that's sort of like head and shoulders above the rest is really difficult. And this one was, I'd never really buy, as Sarah said, not so much like let's just play like we're kids from any character, but like especially from him, because that's not how, that's his whole life is not just like it's treating the game as if they're just fucking around. Like it's the most serious thing in his life. So even when he's trying to convince Tammy, like, let's just do this, like I don't necessarily buy that as a storyline, because it's the state semifinals. Like he would want to play it on a real field, even if they would lose the advantage. I don't know. I don't know enough about football to know that either. And that's also why the long stretches of,
well, you know
football,
what level is, and that
pasture
is not level. And then
right.
Like a football team leveling it. I mean, not that I really had a problem with that, but
yeah,
you know.
But there was fun stuff around that too. Seeing when he takes the team to the hardware store and sends them to get all the stuff they need. And they're just like running around like wild animals, like knocking shit over, really highlights like what they're dealing with all the time. Even though all you see is like the nice, well-mannered Matt Saracen being the perfect boy, like the rest of them are kind of like, you know, wild hyenas being dicks all the time.
Knocking rakes over and racking themselves. Yeah, that was
exactly.
That was a cute
bit. So I thought that was handled nicely, but I'm still, I don't know. I was hoping that Sarah's answer to it would help me tip on one side or the other. So now it's all up to Dave. Go ahead, Dave.
Oh, we're all counting on you, Dave.
First of all, Kim, can I ask you to unplug your mic and plug it back in and start recording again? Because you're starting to Cylon-ify. Because it's the hour. The hours happen. Now Skype's fucking up. All right. So while Kim's doing that, I want to say two things that I liked about this episode that nobody else has mentioned. I love it when the coaches call each other coach.
Oh, yeah.
There is something about that is endearing. Also, like, it's... there's respect there, but it's also like still very sportsy rivalry. Like it's so much said and just the coach calling another coach, you know, as if he's another player, you know, like he's a general or a lieutenant in the army.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed that. And the other thing I want to talk about is the manipulative soundtrack by Snuffy Walden. Mm-hmm. And every episode, you know, there's moments, two or three moments while you start hearing the, you know, ding, 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 to let you know when you're starting, you should start to feel things. great, great soundtrack. He's a really, excellent, scorer of television shows.
Yes.
He's done a lot of work, and this is probably his most recognizable, I think. You know, if you're just to have to pick these songs out of a lineup, his style, this is, I think, the one that most people would recognize. This episode, I feel like, is pretty indicative of the series as much as I've watched it. I've probably seen like a good third or a quarter of these. And, you know, the arc, the come from behind arc of the football game, the challenges in a small town that just wants everything to be about football victories and, you know, trying to maintain your, you know, self in all that. There's a lot of that in there, but I do totally agree with Sarah that a lot of the dialogue seems overwritten or writerly or something, that they should identify scenes where that is not appropriate and sort of, make it a little more realistic, not necessarily dumb down the message, but, you know, make it less, you know, like a play or something like that. And more, you know, high school kids talking. Love the cow scene. I thought that was great. And I thought that was pretty indicative of the music as well. You know, like, here's the music.
That's definitely how cows talk.
Here comes the
excellent
speech.
Excellent dialogue for the cows.
Yeah. Yeah. Interrupting moves. And the bit where the cow comes over to, hit her butt with its snout was pretty amazing. And I just kind of felt like this had a lot of moments that, reminded me of the best of what this show is. Kim said the point in the mediation room, was fantastic. The relationship in the as we heard in the cow pasture, you know, that was great. And really, my chief thing is I agree with Sarah that some of the dialogue was a little too pat. So here we go, guys. We'll start with Sarah. What do you think? Have you made up your mind?
First of all, I'd like to observe on a side note that I believe we have lost Kim.
I was just about to say that too.
Kim?
I think we lost her a while ago.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I think we lost her during your monologue.
Oh, okay. I'll try to erase. She'll just come back in. It's like, yes, no. It'll be very exciting.
Hello?
Hey.
Hi.
Hey.
Sorry.
Kim. Dave was talking and talking, and there was no way for me to stop him, to tell him that we lost you.
I thought you were going to call back. Sorry. My bad. All right. Sarah. Sarah's about to take it over.
Dave voted yes.
Oh, Dave. Thank you.
I, again, enjoyed the episode, but I think there are better, more indicative episodes that I look forward to perhaps you submitting in the future. So my vote is a fond and regretful no.
All right. One up, one down. That means it falls on Tara's shoulders.
Yeah, this is so tough because I love the show so much, but I'm also going to vote no, even though when we played the inspirational speech, it did give me shivers. That wasn't enough to erase the other stuff in the episode that I thought was not so strong. So I'm so sorry to Kim and to the Panthers.
All right. Friday Night Lights, Season 1, Episode 20, Mud Bowl. I'm sorry to tell you. By a vote of 2-1, you are not inducted into the extra hockey canon.
Americans love a winner.
Yeah.
And will not tolerate a loser.
No.
It's time for winner and loser of the week. Sarah has our winner.
I think it's Caitlyn Jenner.
Yeah.
Pretty sure. I Am Kate debuted last night. I don't know how it was rated, but my Twitter feed was
all about it. Yep.
I definitely wish that I were watching that and not True Detective, or as I wrote on previously.tv today, a combination of that.
Yep.
And True Detective, but I've watched about half the episode so far. I cried twice. She looks beautiful. Good job, E. It's much less E than I thought it than I thought it would be.
Has the phrase "good job, E" been spoken before?
not by this American. So yeah, I don't know how it's going to continue, but her conversation with her mom was very touching, and again, her hair extension game is on point. So.
Mm-hmm. And loser of the week?
Oh, loser of the week is Jon Stewart. Wyatt Cenac was on WTF last week and told a story about a time when he clashed with Jon Stewart. And of course, Marc Maron led him right to it because Marc Maron loves stories that are mean about people that won't do his show. And this was one of them because there was an incident where Jon Stewart had done a Herman Cain impression during the last election campaign, not heeding Angie Jordan's advice to not do impressions of other races. So they were going to do it again because there was all this Fox News blowback on him, and Wyatt Cenac, the only black writer at the time, raised the point that let's maybe not. And according to him, Jon Stewart told him to fuck off, and it was not great. And even though there's more nuance to the story than the way it's being, including the way I'm recapping it, but then the way it's been reported in the press, this is not the kind of coverage that Jon Stewart probably wants in the last 2 weeks of his time at The Daily Show. So whether that was Wyatt Cenac's intention or not, it's not great for Jay Stu.
That brings up an interesting question about Jon Stewart, which is, do you think he knows what time it is?
Probably not.
It's game time.
Oh, yay!
Okay, this is the fourth game time of the season.
Sorry.
What were you doing over there? Doing some hammering?
No, I just set my computer down on the desk.
Everyone has 1 point this season so far.
Woo.
We're all tied. Today, we are playing another game from frequent Game Time contributor team, Alyssa and Lauren.
Ooh.
Yes, for their troubles, they each get half an extra credit, redeemable for half an extra hot crate mini topic of their choosing. Yep, they each get half. I only want half ideas from both of them. It's been a long time, but it's time to play.
Oh, man!
All right, everybody. In Blank Stuffed Hot Potato, you will be challenged to recall TV titles, including miniseries, but not TV movies, that conform to a fill-in-the-blank format.
Oh, man.
For example, last blank. The blank can contain multiple words, but words cannot be added to the other side of last, in this case.
Okay.
Even prepositions.
Okay.
Example for last blank.
Last comic standing?
Last week tonight would be valid.
Okay.
But the last man on earth would not.
Okay.
All right?
All right.
We have 10 rounds in play. The person standing at the end of each round gets the point.
Okay.
All right? Any questions on that?
No.
All right.
Nope.
Let's see who's going to go first.
We will start with valued guests.
All right. So Kim's going to go first, and then Sarah, then Tara. So remember your order and just say the next thing that comes into your head when it's your turn. Yes?
Yeah.
Are we ready to play Blank Stuffed Hot Potato?
Let's see.
All right. We're going to start with Kim. Our first category for... Shows that conform to true blank. I have 45 listed here.
What?
45.
Shit.
All right, so Kim, go.
True Detective.
True Blood.
I can't think of any. How can there be 45?
Tara's out.
I'm out.
Back to Kim.
True Life.
True Life.
Yep.
True stories.
Oh, I think I might be out. Let me think for a second. True stuff.
Checking for true stuff. Oh, first point goes to Sarah. Wow, so many.
Oh my God.
So many marginal shows that start with true.
Give us some.
Starting with True Adventures of Christopher Columbus. True Beauty, True Believers, True Blue, True Colors, Confessions Hotline, Crime Authors, Crime Canada, Crime Scene, blah, 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 True Dare Kiss, True Grime, Crime Scene Cleanup, True Heroes, True Horror, True Inc., True Jackson VP.
Oh, okay, sure.
True Jackson.
Justice.
Yeah.
Wow, a lot. True Movement. It goes on and on and on.
Oh, my God.
Was True Calling on there?
Oh, yeah, True Calling.
Yep, True Calling. Is
shit.
Yeah. So
it's only thinking of it now.
Yeah. All right.
So who starts next? Do we alternate who starts as well, or always start in the same order?
Yeah, we could do that.
Okay.
All right.
Start with Sarah.
Hot potato. All right, so we're going to start this round with Sarah.
Yep.
Shows that conform to Mr. Blank.
Oh.
Mr. Blank. There are 90.
Jeez.
90. Mr. Blank. Sarah.
Mr. Belvedere.
Mr. Robot.
Oh my God, I just had one and it just went out of my head. Hold on one second. Mr. Because my first two you guys just took, so this was my number three.
Good stalling tactics.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mr.
Lots left. About 88 by my count. And True Robot wasn't even on this list because I think it was made before it aired. But we're going to need an answer.
Mr. Smith.
Mr. Smith.
Oh.
Yep. Ask the show. Was that? Did you pull that out of your ass?
Yes.
Okay. Did you know it was a show?
No.
Were you just hoping? All right. Yes. Well done.
Mr. Selfridge.
Ah. Mr. Sunshine? Okay.
Oh, now it's back to me again. Mr. Jones.
Mr. Jones.
By the County Crows.
I was thinking it. Mr.
Jones. Kim's out.
It's worth a shot.
Yeah.
Lots left. Some that you'll kick yourself after.
I know.
Yeah.
I don't know if this counts as its own show.
Okay.
So I am not going to say Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, but instead I'm going to guess that once upon a time there was a show called Mr. Wrong.
Mr. Wrong. There was a movie called Mr. Wrong, I think.
Yeah.
Yes, I know. With Bull Pinnell.
All right. Shit. Tara, if you can answer this, you get the point.
Well, I'm going to say Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood because that was a show.
Yep, okay. It was. I don't know why you wouldn't say it.
Would Mr. and Mrs. Smith count? Or is it just Mr. Yep. Blank? Oh, okay. Was there a show of Mr. Mom?
As I said at the beginning, I was explaining the rules. The blank could be one or more words.
Okay.
Yeah. All right, Mr. Ed.
I don't know why I didn't think that was a show. Okay.
Mr. Ed.
Yeah.
I'm just going to go through some of the more popular ones. Mr. Magoo.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Mr. T, the cartoon with, where he was the gymnast, crime-fighting gymnast wrangler.
Can you confirm or deny that there was a Mr. Mom TV adaptation?
Let's see. Mr. Bean.
Oh, Mr. Bean, sure.
Mr. Selfridge, we said.
Yeah.
Mr. and Mrs. Dracula was a TV show.
That was her.
Blah, 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 blah. Mr. Broadway, I remember from a few years ago.
Uh-huh.
Mr. Dress-Up, Canada.
Oh, Canada.
Mr. Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
And get this, Mr. Jones and His Neighbors.
Oh.
Yeah. Mr. Men. Mr. Nice Guy. Mr. President. What were you asking, Tara?
Mom.
No Mr. Mom.
Okay.
No TV show. Mr. Wizard.
Yeah. No. There. No. Of course.
Hot potato. House blank, starting with Tara. House blank, I have 27 listed.
Hunters.
House of Cards.
House MD.
House of DVF.
House of
DVF. Letters.
Yeah, sure.
Is that what it's called?
I don't even know
what it's called.
It's not on this list, but I remember. I'm going to take your word for it.
Okay.
That one. Yeah.
House Hunters International.
Ooh, house.
And here's the thing, guys.
Beautiful.
don't forget, sometimes shows have multiple existences.
Okay.
That's all I'm going to say about that.
All right.
I'll explain after.
Okay.
So Sarah's out.
Yeah. House Rules. Seems like it should be the name of the show. Okay.
All right, Kim.
A blind guess, yeah. Not successful.
For the point.
House Rules was actually my next guess. House.
Is this how we should do it? Last person has to get it to get the point. Otherwise, no point.
Yeah,
sure.
Okay.
That's how we've been doing it.
But yeah. What are you going to do if I don't get it? Last person to give a correct answer gets it.
Then no point for the round.
Ooh.
Oh.
I feel like it's a cop-out.
I just thought of another
House,
one.
House of Cards again. Is there another show called House
Correct.
Of
That's what I was getting
what?
At. House of Cards UK, House of Cards Netflix.
Of course. I just thought of House of Style, the MTV
house,
show.
Yeah. House Calls, House Crashers.
House Calls.
House Hunters Renovation.
Oh, I knew
house
there were Husbands, more of those. Yeah.
House of Buggin'. House of Cosby's, look out.
Hey.
House of Food, House of Food Obsessives.
Mm.
House of Fools, Horrors. Joy, Lies, Mouse, Pain, Saddam.
House of Lies.
House Party, House Poor. All right, this is going to mess with you. Blank House.
Oh, no.
Not House Blank. Blank House. Many more of these. I got 65 listed.
Okay, but
now remember, it could be one word house, two words house.
Okay.
Et cetera, et cetera.
Got it.
All right, and this is starting with whoever started the first time.
Kim.
Kim, take it away.
Full House. Full House?
Sarah.
Bleak House.
Flip This House.
Back to
Not
Kim.
Sure this is going to count. Mickey Mouse Clubhouse?
Mickey Mouse Clubhouse. Not on the list, but is that an actual thing?
Yeah, it's a show.
It's a show.
It is definitely a show.
Maybe one word.
Yeah.
Mickey Mouse Clubhouse conforms to the format, so we'll give you a point.
Mm.
This is why we don't get hot potatoes. Hard to do all the research for. This is a pretty good list, but once in a while things slip through.
Man About the House.
Man About the House.
Man, woman of the house? Oh, phew.
Wait, what did you say?
I said woman of the house. If I'm remembering it right, it was Delta Burke was like a congresswoman or something.
Okay.
I don't know if that's what it's called, though. No, so if it's not on the list,
it's called
it's
women of the house, according to this list.
Oh.
But if it's about one person, I'll give it to you.
Okay.
Look at me, I'm so generous.
Pioneer House?
Oh, Rich Vein, Kim.
Nice one.
Yeah, I can't
remember the other ones. To Sarah, blank house or blank blank house or blank 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 house ends with house.
1800s house?
1800s house. Was that a thing? I know there's 1900s house.
No.
There were ones that were set in the 1800s, but I don't know if they were.
Not on the list.
All right, no.
Okay, well, 1900 House is actually what I was going to say next.
All right.
I don't know if this counts or not because it hasn't premiered, but Fuller House?
I'll give that to you.
Pioneer House?
Already said.
Oh, Frontier House? Was that one said?
Okay. No. That's what I was going to say. Yeah, I'm stuck. Let's see. What's a saying with house in it that somebody would come up with?
There's a couple here that
empty
are
empty house,
not empty nest, but empty house and not on the list. So Tara has to get one to clinch the point.
I know I said flip this house, but I'm also going to say flip that house because I think there's one that's called that too.
Not on the list.
Shit.
You want to look it up in your spare time? Go ahead. But that means no points on that one.
Dang.
Number five, blank love. blank love, starting with Sarah.
Big love.
Strange love.
Wait, strange love?
Strange love was with wasn't that what the Bridget Nielsen Flavor Flav show was
Flavor
called?
Flav.
Okay. Was it? Can anybody confirm that? Strange
I
love?
Cannot.
I think so. I'm not 100%, but I think so. It might have been called something like, yeah, I think love would have been the last word.
All right. Well, Tara's going to look it up as we move along.
Okay. True love?
I have 23 listed.
Strange Love is a show. It was okay. On TLC, though.
Very good.
Flavor of Love.
Burning Love.
Rock of Love.
Rock of Love.
That was the Bret Michaels one.
Wasn't that the Bret Michaels Flavor of Love?
Yeah.
Was it?
Spin-off?
All right. Great.
Yep.
Good.
Now I'm all out of love.
Oh no.
I'm so lost without you. Let's try Tough Love.
Modern Love? She said with no confidence. Okay.
Wow, I can't believe that was never a show.
I'm gonna do my bluff by combining questions and say House of Love with a question mark.
All right, Sarah, here's your chance to get the point.
My mind is emptied of all loving expressions.
Just looking for if there's any really big shows still on the list that are here. And I'm going to say not really. Hmm. Not really.
Tara's Modern Love guess was... very clever. So let's see if Mr. and Mrs. Love works.
No, we got 15 Love. We've got Anything But Love. We have Tori and Dean in Love. We have Tainted Love.
Yeah.
Mother Love, Bad Love, Girls in Love. Get Christy Love, exclamation point. And possibly explanation point, because I don't know what that is.
Was there one called Who Do You Love?
No. There's Endless Love.
I just remembered, too, which Steve recapped for us.
Chains of Love.
Chains of Love.
Yep.
Hot potato.
All right, it's a good time to get a score break, actually. That was halfway.
We are all tied up with one each.
One each, all right. Yep. Number six, Family Blank. I think this is Tara first.
Ties.
Really an advantage going first in this game. Family Feud.
Family Matters.
Family Affair.
Family. There's a show called Just Family.
Yeah, but that's not, doesn't conform.
Oh,
to
it has to have a blank. All right.
Shit, I was going to use that one.
Still some
family,
big ones. Still some big ones on the board.
Yeah. Family. Thinking matters. Family of Love. I don't know. Worth a shot.
Sarah.
Family. Family. Family of Man.
Was there a show called Family Law?
There was. Family. Okay, somebody said Family Affair.
Yes,
there's
me.
Also Family Affairs.
Oh.
Let's see. Family Business. Family Dog. Family Double Dare.
Ew.
Family Guy.
Oh!
Family Guy.
Fuck.
People were yelling at their iPods for that one.
For sure.
Family
I actually
Tree.
I feel fine about none of us getting that. Frankly.
Family Tree. Yeah. We watched that for a second.
For a second. Mad Blank. Mad Blank. This is Kim.
Mad About You.
Damn it.
Seriously.
Mad Blank. Mad Blank Blank. Mad Blank Blank Blank.
Madman of the People.
Madman of the People.
What might not count because it was all Madman was all one word, but it was with Dabney Coleman.
Yeah, I remember that show.
It was one of the lesser must see TV Thursday shows.
Madman of the People.
Mad Men.
Yeah.
Oh, the temptation to say Mad, Bad, and Dangerous to know on that. Really strong, especially in this group.
If you'd like a Mad, Bad, and Dangerous to Know t-shirt, you have until Wednesday to order one.
Look at me with a seamless product placement. Let's hope there was a game show based on Mad Libs. There should be, though.
Mad Max. Dave just shaking his head. I don't know what they do in Australia.
No, I'll tell you after.
Okay.
All right, Kim, here's your chance.
All right. This is a book title that maybe someone stole.
Yeah.
Mad About the Boy.
Oh.
No.
Mad About Alice, about machines, about pets. Let's see. What do we got here that might be... Okay, so somebody said Mad Libs, but
Sarah
there's
did.
Mad Labs.
Oh.
Mad House. Mad World. Mad Max Motion Comic.
Damn it!
Okay, here's the one that I think that maybe with enough time and you know, somebody could have got Mad Money with Jim Cramer.
Of course.
Oh yeah. He lives in my hometown.
So no points for round number 7. Round number 8. Star blank starting with Sarah.
Star blank. Star Search.
Star Trek.
And the vein is opened.
Star Struck.
Why go for such a weird guess when somebody just said Star Trek?
Oh, because right. I had it in my head. I want to get it out before I forgot it. Because it was so good.
Yep.
Me?
Ironclad strategy.
Yeah.
All right.
Thank you.
Yeah. What you want to do is get rid of the obvious ones first. So
it is your turn, Sarah.
Yeah.
Star Trek The Next Generation.
Star Trek DS9.
Star Trek Babylon 5.
Was that a joke answer?
Nope.
Star Trek Voyager.
All right. Point for Tara. Babylon 5 and Star Trek are two very different shoes.
Yeah.
Let's see. Star Blazers. What?
They sound attractive.
Comet Empire, Star Blazers.
Okay.
Were
there Star Wars shows? Like, would Star Wars droids have been one?
Yeah, Star... No.
Oh,
that
okay.
wasn't
Clone
named
Wars,
that.
Star Wars, though, right?
Star Wars Clone Wars.
Right.
Star Wars Rebels.
Oh, yeah.
Star Trek Voyager, you said?
I did.
Enterprise, I think we're missing, because sometimes it was called Star Trek Enterprise.
Sure.
So I was going to accept that one. Star Seed. Star Dude. Stories, yeah. Star Maiden, Star Driver, Star Cops.
Star Cops!
Yeah.
Love it.
And Star Academy. Top blank. Top blank. And this is Tara, I think, right?
Yep.
Top blank.
Top Chef.
Ugh. You always take my... I have nothing.
Well, that's the most obvious one. I got to take it out of contention.
Also, think of Star Trek.
Good strategy, as Dave has now explained to me.
Yep.
Let's see. Top. I'm thinking Top Model, but that's not the name of the show. Top. Top Hat.
I got to accept Top Model because you said it and it's a show.
Oh, it is?
Yep.
But it was America's Next Top Model.
But there
okay.
is another show called Top Model. It's probably it's probably like a
in Estonia
know,
or something.
Yeah.
Look, take a pity point. That's fine.
All right, Sarah.
Top Gear.
Nice. Top Chef Masters.
There we go. Somebody's
Top
using
Chef
her.
Just Dessert. Oh, sorry.
Ooh. Oh,
take it.
Free one for Kim.
Top Chef Just Dessert.
Womp womp.
Sadly, I recapped two of those shows and still didn't get it.
All right, now it's your turn, Sarah.
Top of the Pops.
Yep. Top Design.
I'm out of reality competition show ideas, so I'm going to say Top of the World. It's got a great theme song built in.
All right, Sarah.
I am also out of reality show ideas, but perhaps there is a For It Is Oi Potato Lad competition that I don't know about, so let's go with Top of the Morning.
That does seem like it should be a morning show. Top Shot? Is that the one with
Nice.
With Kobe? Colby?
Colby, yeah.
Nice. All right, here's some ones that you missed.
Top Cat?
Top Cat.
Okay.
Oh.
Top Boy, Buzzer, Card Cat.
Top Boy.
Chef Canada.
Oh, right.
Top Cops. I'm learning that you should just add cops to everything.
Yep.
Okay.
Let's see. I don't know. Top Gear USA in Australia. Top Guns.
Okay.
Top Hooker.
Of course.
Okay.
It's probably a fishing show.
Calm down.
Here's a show I know some of you watch. Top of the Lake.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Top Damn. Secret. Top Secret Recipe. Top Secret Weapons Revealed.
Oh.
And Top Shop All-Stars. Yeah. Top 10, Top 10s, Top Sniper 2, the exciting sequel to Top Sniper, I assume, which is not listed here. Just Top Sniper 2. How'd that happen? What's going on here?
Weird.
Huh. Interesting. Hot potato, hot potato, hot potato, potato, hot potato, potato, hot potato, hot potato, hot potato, hot potato. What's the scores, by the way?
Kim and Sarah are tied with one each. I have four.
You have four?
Yeah.
Okay. So, here we go. All blank, all blank, and I'm going to give you this bonus. There is no all cops, no all cops. I know I just planted the seed in your mind, but there's no all cops. So we're starting with somebody. Who's Kim, right?
Kim.
All right, Kim.
Yeah.
All
in the family.
Of course.
All my children.
Oh, good one. All In. I'm going to guess there was a show called that at some point. Shit, good.
Stop it.
I actually had that scribbled down as my next guess, All In.
There's one here.
I know there's another All My something. All My Cats.
I would watch that show.
There's one listed here that kind of curious what it actually is.
Was All My Sons a show?
You're thinking of My Three Sons.
Arthur
Miller. I know My Three Sons.
All My Sons?
There's, in fact, only one All My listed here, and it is children.
Okay. All For One.
All.
For One.
For.
One.
Lamb, looking it up.
Okay. It's another blind guess. Okay, no point.
All For Love was the closest match.
Oh, okay.
Quite a few here, I think, maybe. Of course, everybody's favorite show, All Dogs Go to Heaven, the series.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jesus.
All You Need Is Love, All You Can Eat, All That.
Oh, yeah. Yep. That was a show.
All Souls, All Saints, All of Us, All Is Forgiven.
All of Us.
All In the Game. All Girls Garage. and the one I'm... it's a show, and I gotta believe it maybe was just a special or something. But apparently, according to this list, All American Doctor Who.
Oh, that sounds terrible.
Yeah.
Colon, the musical.
Yeah. All right. So, Tara has it, but let's play our tiebreaker round for Shits and Giggles. Hot potato, hot potato, hot potato, potato, hot potato, hot potato, hot potato. Blank Night. Blank Night. So, Sarah, you start us off with Blank Night. And I just want to let you know.
Like the time of day, not night like Ryder.
Yeah, it's night as in the time. And yes. Because it's night and it's the midnight hour, 12 day points to the winner. If we have one.
Edge of Night.
Edge of Night. Edge of Night. Is that a thing? Can anybody confirm?
I think so. There's a soap,
it's a soap,
right?
Opera.
Very good.
Vampire suit. Blah.
Blah.
Ladies' Night.
She says.
And the feeling.
Okay. I thought it might be a British thing. You never know.
All right, Kim.
Fright Night?
Yes, there was a TV show Fright Night.
Late Night.
Oh, good. Good job.
Well, here's the thing with that.
That's what we call it on our boards.
With someone.
But it's late night with blah, blah, blah.
With blah,
so
blah, blah.
You can give another answer.
I thought that might be true.
Yeah. Well, she could.
She can give another answer because I'm not accepting that one.
All right, all right.
Blank night, blank, 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 blank night, blank, blank night.
Blank, 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 blank night.
What if there was blank night? Was one of the things. There was actually a show in this list. It was actually
nothing.
Blank.
Long day's journey into night. Why not?
All right. So, Kim, for 12 day points.
Kim's got one. In the heat of the night.
Nice.
Very good. All right. So, valued guess.
They
are racking up 12.
15 points for the valued guess.
Let's see. What do we got here? Not a lot of really family game night, which I think was a GSN thing.
No.
No?
Yeah, you're right. I'm sorry.
Yep.
I was thinking of the celebrity one.
A little thing called
Hollywood Game Night. Good duh.
Oh, dear.
Sports Night.
Yeah.
Super Fun Night.
Yeah.
Tender is the Night.
Oh.
Ew.
The Edge of Night.
That's what Sarah said.
Oh, because of the.
Well, yeah, whatever.
Barnaby.
All right, well,
Edge
wait.
With an E.
You gave it to her. It doesn't matter. We both confirmed that it was real.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. It was just listed under T. That's
right.
Thick of the Night. With
Thick.
That was a talk show, right?
Yep.
Yeah. And Up All Night.
Up All Night. Sure. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
So.
Man, Hot Potato's fucking hard.
Tara.
Good job, Tara.
Thanks.
Good job, Tara. Congratulations.
That is it for another episode of Extra Hot Great. Wow, this is the longest show in a while. We talked about the latest episode of Being Mary Jane, where Mary Jane makes friends with former hip-hop artist in Louisville, Kentucky, with the help of her two super white office. God damn it, that's Catfish. We went around the dial with stops at America's Best Dance Crew, Little House on the Prairie, Humans, thank you. And the war against teeth. Remember a whole bunch of other stuff, which I forgot to write down.
Yep.
We're listening.
I am David T. Cole, reminding you of some other things like we are all Domer. We bought into a zoo. I am not a crackpot. An unsuccessful cannon submission for Friday Night Lights Mud Bowl. Winners and losers of the week, etc. I am David T. Cole. I do not prep properly. And on behalf of Tara Arianna.
Yeah.
Sarah D. Bundy.
Hi.
Kim Reid.
Clear eyes, full hearts, can't lose.
Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.
Wet your whistle.
Lip Quencher.
Wet your whistle with the wet, wonderful colors of Lip Quencher. There's no lipstick quite like Lip Quencher. Created by Chapstick, drenched with moisturizers, so your lips feel as good as they look.
Lip Quencher.
Wet your whistle.
God.
Gross.
No.
Mancini is whirring in his grave with a propeller.
I'll just have chapped lips, thank you very much.
No, that was a felony in 15 states.
You know, when you listen, you guys don't have this experience because you're always playing Game Time. But when you're listening to Game Time and not a contestant, you always are thinking, oh, my God, I could do so much better than them at this. You know, maybe that's just me. But I was going to tell people, whatever your score is playing the home game, subtract 20% because you're always so nervous and your mind just goes blank and you always do terrible.
It's even like, more so for Hot Potato because it's so tense and it's like there's a million answers. And
like
you
last week's game
them.
Time. Sorry.
Go ahead.
Last week's game time where Omar played. I got every single one right. And I was like, oh my God, I'm going to do so good next week when I'm on game time. And then I shit the bed. It's that. And also I was going to say my biggest fear with game time is not shitting the bed because that's going to happen, but being revealed to not have watched a show that everybody else in the world has watched, and then you just feel like a nerd. Like everyone else is like, you know, it's this one, and you can't come up with it. And you're like, oh, I never watched it. And then you're all embarrassed.
Well, that wasn't an issue in this one, I don't think.
No, it wasn't.
This one was just hard.
but I haven't watched Humans. So that's what made me think about when you guys were talking.
Oh, okay. You should. It's really good.